You are listening to The Life of Jesus Christ in a Year from the visions of Anne Catherine Emmerich from Tan. I'm Father Edward Looney, and each day I'll be reading and offering commentary to guide you through Anne Catherine Emmerich's magnificent mystical revelations. In addition to listening, you can follow along with the four-volume hardcover set of The Life of Jesus Christ and Biblical Revelations available from Tan. Before we get to today's reading, though, let us ask the intercession of our venerable author. O blessed Anne Catherine Emmerich, devout and pious follower of Christ, who patiently endured the frailty of this mortal condition, who humbly received the honorable marks of Christ Jesus on your hands, feet, side, head, and chest, the marks which you were blessed by the Lord to witness for yourself in his own sufferings. We graciously ask for your intercession with God, that we sinners may be forgiven of our sins and be drawn more completely into spiritual communion with Christ, our Lord and our Savior. We ask this in the name of the Most Holy Lamb of God and through the intercession of Holy Mary, our Mother. Amen. Today is day number 141, and in this episode, we'll continue reading from Volume 2. Today, we read number 6, Sermon on the Mountain, near Meroz, the Daughters of Laius. 6. Next morning, Jesus went again to the mountain, and there, during the whole forenoon, delivered a grand discourse, similar to that as the Sermon on the Mount. The multitude present was great, and food was distributed. Bread and honey, along with the fish taken from the ponds fed by the little brooks that watered the region. Jesus had, by means of the disciples, procured provisions for the poor. Toward the end of the discourse, he alluded again to the one talent that, as children of the handmaid, they had received and buried, and he inveighed severely against the Pharisees for their hatred toward them, asking why they had not long ago led these people back to the truth. His words vexed the Pharisees, and they began to retort. They reproached Jesus for allowing his disciples so much liberty, especially on the score of fasting, washing, purifications, the Sabbath, the shunning of publicans and the different sects. It was not in this way, they said, the children of the prophets and the scribes used to live. Jesus replied in the words of the commandments of fraternal love, Love God above all things, and thy neighbor as thyself. This is the first commandment. And he told the disciples that they should learn to practice it, instead of covering up its abuse by means of exterior practices. Jesus spoke somewhat figuratively. Consequently, Philip and Thaddeus said to him, Master, they have not understood thee. Then Jesus explained himself quite significantly. He commiserated the poor, ignorant, sinful people whom they, the Pharisees, with all their outward observance of the law, had allowed to go to the destruction. And he ended by boldly declaring that they who acted so should have no part in his kingdom. He then went down the mountain to his inn, which was 1.5 hours from the scene of the sermon, and another from the city. He met all along the way, on litters, under tents, a great number of sick of all kinds patiently awaiting his coming. Many of them had come too late for the first cures. They belonged to the country far around. Jesus cured them, addressing to them at the same time the words of consolation and an exhortation to a change of life. A pagan widow of name called Laius was also here waiting for Jesus. She had come to implore his aid in behalf of her two daughters, Sabia and Athaliah. They were in a fearful manner possessed by the devil and were at home in name, confined to their respective apartments. They were perfectly furious. They dashed themselves here and there. They bit their own flesh and struck wildly around them. No one ventured to approach them. At other times, their members were contracted by cramps, and they fell to the ground pale and unconscious. Their mother, accompanied by handmaids and men servants, had come to Jesus for help. She was waiting at a distance, eagerly desirous of his approach, but to her disappointment, she saw him always turning to others. The poor mother could not restrain her eagerness, but cried out from time to time as he drew near, Ah, Lord, have mercy on me! But Jesus appeared not to hear her. The woman near her suggested that she should say, Have mercy on my daughters, since she herself was not a sufferer. She replied, They are my own flesh. In having mercy on me, he will have mercy on them also. And again she uttered the same cry. At last, Jesus turned and addressed her. It is proper that I should break bread to the children of my own household before attending to strangers. The mother replied, Thou, Lord, art right. I will wait or even come again if thou canst not help me today, for I am not worthy of thy assistance. Jesus had, however, finished his work of healing, and the cured, singing canticles of praise, were going off with their beds. Jesus had turned away from the disconsolate mother and appeared about to retire. Seeing this, the poor woman grew desperate. Ah, she thought, he is not going to help me. But as the words flashed through her mind, Jesus turned toward her and said, Woman, what askest thou of me? She cast herself veiled at his feet and answered, Lord, help me. My two daughters at name are tormented by the devil. I know that thou canst help them, if thou wilt, for all things are possible to thee. Jesus responded, Return to thy home. The daughters are coming to meet thee, but purify thyself. The sins of the parents are upon these children. These last words Jesus spoke to her privately. She replied, Lord, I have already long wept my sin. What shall I do? Then Jesus told her that she should get rid of her unjustly acquired goods, mortify her body, pray, fast, give alms, and comfort the sick. She promised with many tears to do all that he suggested, and then went away full of joy. Her two daughters were the fruit of an illicit connection. She had three sons born in a lawful wedlock, but they lived apart from their mother, who still retained property belonging to them. She was very rich and, notwithstanding her repentance, lived, like most of her class, a life of luxury. The daughters were confined in separate chambers. While Jesus was speaking with their mother, they fell unconscious, and Satan went out of them in the form of black vapor. Weeping vehemently and quite changed, they called their female attendants and informed them that they were cured. When they learned that their mother had gone to the prophet of Nazareth, they set out to meet her, accompanied by many of their acquaintances. They met her at about an hour's distance from Nain and related all that had happened to them. The mother then went on to the city, but the daughters with their maids and servants proceeded straight forward to Meroz. They wished to present themselves to Jesus, who they had heard was going to teach there again the next morning. During the healing of the sick, Menahem, the blind disciple of Chorea, who had been restored to sight and whom Jesus had sent on a message to Lazarus, returned from Bethania with the two nephews of Joseph of Arimathea. Jesus gave them an interview. The holy women had sent by them money and gifts of various kinds to Jesus. Dinah, the Samaritan, had visited the holy women at Capernaum, bringing with her a rich contribution. Veronica and Johanna Chuza had also visited Mary. On their return journey, they called to see Magdalene, whom they found very much changed. She was depressed in spirits, her folly apparently undergoing a struggle with her good inclinations. The holy women took Dinah with them to Bethania. There was, at the epoch, a rich, aged woman, widow, who joined Martha's little band and gave all she possessed for the benefit of the young community. When the Pharisees invited Jesus to a dinner, they asked him whether his disciples, young, inexperienced men, some of them quite rustic and unaccustomed to the society of the learned, should also be invited. Jesus answered, Yes, for whoever invites me invites the members of my household also, and he that rejects them likewise rejects me. At these words, they bade him bring the disciples with him, all repaired to the public house in the city, where Jesus still taught and explained parables. The property upon which Lazarus had established the inn near Meroz consisted of a beautiful field and numerous orchards interspersed with charming groves. Some of his servants lived there to attend to the fruit and provide for its sale. At this time, they had charge also of the inn. the last meeting of Jesus with Lazarus at Enon, it had been agreed that Jesus should tarry for some time in these parts. The holy women had in consequence come thither to get the inn in order, and the people around the country had been notified to expect Jesus. On the following morning, before going again to the mountain, Jesus taught at the fountain in Meroz, and again reproached the Pharisees for the little care they took of the people. After that, he ascended the mountain and delivered an instruction similar to that known as the Sermon on the Mount, before taking leave of the people. He once more gave an explanation of the buried talent. Some of his hearers had already been there 3 days and camped on the mountain. Those in need had been placed apart from the rest and were provided with food and other necessaries by the disciples. Judas's uncle, Simeon of Iscariot, a devout old man, dark-complexioned and vigorous, entreated Jesus to go to Iscariot, and Jesus promised to do so. When he went down the mountain, he found some sick awaiting him. They were still able to walk. Jesus cured them. This took place on the road between the inn and Lazarus's property, at a little distance, below the place where the disciples had distributed food to the poor. On the same spot upon which the pagan woman, Lais of name, had knelt yesterday at Jesus' feet, praying for her sick daughters, were today those daughters, now both cured, awaiting the coming of Jesus. They were named Athaliah and Sabia, and were accompanied by their maids and men-servants. With all their attendants, they cast themselves down before Jesus, saying, "Lord, we esteemed ourselves unworthy to listen to thy instructions. Therefore, we waited here to thank thee for freeing us from the power of the evil one." Jesus commanded them to rise. He commanded their mother's patience, humility, and faith. For as a stranger, she had waited until he had broken bread to his own household. But now he continued, she too belonged to his household, for she had recognized the God of Israel in his mercy. The Heavenly Father had sent him to break bread to all that believed in his mission and brought forth fruits of penance. Then he ordered the disciples to bring food, which he gave to the maidens and all their attendants, to each a piece of bread and a piece of fish, delivering to them at the same time an instruction thereon, full of deep significance. After that, he went on with the disciples to the inn. One of the maidens was 20, the other 5, and 20 years old. Their sickness and the confinement in which they lived had made them pale and wan. This brings us to the end of our reading for today, and now we reflect on what we have just listened to, what we have just read. So this reading that we had today, you know, a nice reading. Short, but it presents a little event in the ministry of Jesus, not in the Gospels. Obviously, this widow of Nain, probably not the same widow of Nain from the Gospel. There are different widows of Nain. So several women have experienced the loss of a husband. But just what Jesus does, very wonderful. How he comes to the aid of this family line. The very first thing Jesus is teaching in our reading today is simply love God above all things and thy neighbor as thyself. And it says he told the disciples that they should learn to practice it instead of covering up its abuses by means of exterior practices. You and I, listen to Jesus. Learn to practice it. Learn to love God with all your heart, above all things, and your neighbor as thyself. Every day we could ask ourselves, have I loved God today above all things? It's a good question for examination. And then we hear about the healings of Jesus. Jesus cured them, addressing to them at the same time words of consolation and exhortation to a change of life. always remember, Jesus is asking you to change your life. Do not be satisfied with how you're living now. There's always room for greater conformity to the Lord Jesus. And then this woman comes and says, "Can you set my daughters free? They're possessed." And Jesus sets them free. They realize it. They want to seek out Jesus. Now, Jesus speaks to this widow and says, and really says to her, "Return to thy home. Thy daughters are coming to meet thee, but purify thyself. The sins of the parents are upon these children." She replied, "Lord, I have already long wept for my sin. What shall I do?" And then Jesus told her that she should get rid of her unjustly acquired goods, mortify her body, pray, fast, and give alms, and comfort the sick. So you and I, we all also have mourned over our sins. We have wept over our sinfulness. Our sins, unfortunately, the memory of them, they remain with us. The effects of them remain with us. And so we are constantly reminded, but also too, we should remind ourselves of the mercy of Jesus Christ, that he has forgiven us, that just as maybe a sin haunts us, well, we say, well, Jesus died for me. Jesus forgave me of this. And we do these actions, praying, fasting, giving alms, kind deeds to others like the sick, makes up for our sins. It's from the scriptures. St. Peter, he writes, "Love covers a multitude of sins." And so by our love for others, we're righting this wrong of our sinfulness. So in this story that we hear today, let it be a reminder of us seeking out the Lord, of us asking him for something, of us receiving, of us listening. Let us respond to this reading today by how we live each and every day. This brings us to an end of our reading and reflection for today. Please be sure to subscribe to the podcast and sign up for email notifications at emmerichpodcast.com and use coupon code ACE25 for 25% off your next order at tanbooks.com. Also, please share the podcast with others, email it to your friends, text a link, invite them to begin listening so that you can have holy conversations with your family and friends about the writings of Anne Catherine Emmerich. Don't forget to rate and review the podcast on whatever platform you're listening. I hope you'll join us next time as we continue meditating on the life of Jesus Christ and biblical revelation with the help of Blessed Anne Catherine Emmerich. Until then, may God bless you and Mary pray for you.